guys, and you know, a lifetime supply of, you know, this or a lifetime supply of that, and it will never run out. Well, when we got saved, we got a lifetime supply of mercy and grace, and it will never run out. Isn't that a blessing? It will never run out. All right, we're going to be going to the Gospels, and yes, we're going to be looking in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John this evening. And so you can go ahead and go to Matthew. We'll start in Matthew. Matthew chapter 27 is where you can go this evening. Matthew chapter 27. In step with Jesus tonight, and we find Jesus, he's been denied, he's been betrayed, and he's gone through quite a bit in the last 24 hours. We find the disciples running away. We find a few following afar off. We find the trial from the Jews, Annas, Caiaphas, take him in the middle of the night and go through a bunch of things. And we have all of Peter's situation there. Going through that, we've went through Peter. And here we are this evening. You know, as we look at the story and all that Jesus goes through, we look at his manhood and we say, so good of a man, and so much was against him. You know, I want you to think about this for a moment. Didn't Jesus do good everywhere he went? Think about all the help that he provided people, Jew and Gentile. He was there for people. He was there and he did all kinds of different things for them. He was compassionate. He had compassion on them. He fed them. He healed them. He had done so many things. He had given them a wonderful pattern to follow him. And yet he went and endured such harshness. And we can think about this. I want us to look at Matthew and Mark for the first point. We're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 27 and verses 11 to 14, and then we're going to be jumping over to Mark chapter 15, verses 2 to 5. And honestly, both of these say very much the same thing. So let's read Matthew's, then let's read Mark's, and then I'm going to give you the first point this evening. All right, such a good man, so much against him. Matthew chapter 27. Let's look in verse 11. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said unto him, "Thou sayest." And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Keep your finger here. Let's go to Mark chapter 15. Mark chapter 15, and let's look at verses 2 to 5. Well, let's start with verse 1. Let's go from 1 to 5. Mark chapter 15, verses 1 through 5. And straightway in the morning, the chief priests held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council, and bound Jesus, and carried him away, and delivered him to Pilate. And Pilate asked him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" And he answering said unto him, "Thou sayest it." And the chief priests accused him of many things, but he answered nothing. And Pilate asked him again, saying, "Answerest thou nothing? Behold, how many things they witness against thee." But Jesus yet answered nothing, so that Pilate marveled. All right, we have these two things, these two passages that are given to us. And the first point that I want you to see is how many things. Did you catch that phrase in both of that passage? Now, maybe the words were maybe just one word different or such, but he says how many things. Again, back in Matthew chapter 27, starting in verse 11. Again, Pilate says here in verse 13, "Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee?" And then again, you know, in In Mark, we read the same thing. How many things? Looking there at verse number 3, he said, "And the chief priests accused him of many things." And then in verse 4, "Behold, how many things they witness against thee." All right, what do you think that Matthew and Mark mean when they say many things? What do you think? Many things. There's a genius here in the crowd tonight. Many things. You know what? We don't have to go into the Greek to figure out what many things are. Many things mean many things. Okay, so these guys had come together, and this is not Pilate. This is all the Jewish religious leaders that have accused Jesus of many things. This wasn't one thing. This wasn't two things. This wasn't three things or four things. This was how many? Many things. Many things they had accused Jesus of. Folks, I want to tell you, that's tough. You know, Jesus had done so many things for them during the last few years, and now they were accusing him of many things. If you've ever been accused of many things, it's oppressive. It's difficult. Question, have you ever been accused of many things? A long time ago in the past, I was. And it was probably one of the hardest times that I went through. Thing after thing after thing after thing. And at a certain point of one thing after the next, you begin to defend and say, that's enough, right? I mean, you know, how many things can you listen to over and over again that you've done? And after a while, you know, the first one, you're really listening, and you're thinking, okay, you know, and then the second thing, and then the third, and then the fourth, and the fifth. After a while, you're thinking, what's the deal? How many things do you bring before me? And we typically begin to defend ourselves. We defend accusations one by one, and it doesn't work. When you've been accused of many, many things, defending yourself for each one, it never works. And as we begin to defend ourselves from all these things, it gives opportunity to find fault with us. You know, they made the mistake to count, always wrong. You realize, by the way, this is kind of a side note, don't ever count. Keep tally the things that people do. It's going to hurt you. They did it again. They did it again. They did it again. They did it again. Folks, let's not get into that sort of a game. It doesn't work. Keeping track, tallying up. But they counted. And honestly, these people, these religious leaders, they counted because they had many things. Oh, and Jesus, there was the time that you did this. And then remember, you did this. And hey, Pilate, he did this. And he did this. And it is as if they came with a big slate. And they said, look at Pilate, all these things that Jesus has done. You know, if that's ever happened to you, the normal response after a certain amount is that we begin to do the same thing, and we begin to count all the things that they have said wrong. Well, I didn't do this, and well, let me tell you about that, and that time I never, and we've just lost our being above board testimony with them. Well, let me ask you a question. How did Jesus deal with so many things? You probably know the answer. Matthew's phrase is never a word. That's what Matthew said. What was Mark's? Nothing. That was his one word, Mark. Nothing. He said nothing. To the many things. You know, that's very difficult. Now, we're talking about many things. Many things. It's tough. You know, it's one thing when a person says something that you've done wrong, but it's a whole other issue when somebody brings many things. Many things. It's a very difficult situation, but with the power and direction of the Holy Spirit, it can be done. And it ought to be done. You think about that. Never a word. Think about the situations and that person at work, that relative, that neighbor, or whatever, comes to you over and over and over and over. And we look at the pathway in which Jesus has laid for us and we have nothing. Never a word. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. That's tough. That's difficult to go through so many things. You know, we can say one time is okay. And we talked a little bit about this last week with forgiveness and how many times do we forgive? But, you know, we get to that point and we say, you know what, at a certain time we give in and we say something back. It's hard to take accusations over and over and over again. Can you imagine in your circumstance and situation not saying a word? I can imagine it. But I'll confess to you folks tonight that I don't do a very good job at not saying a word. You know, I'm kind of like you maybe. I might sort of want to defend myself. Sometimes I get bothered that they have so many things and I want to just say, what's your deal? What's going on? Now, hold on. You got that one wrong and that's not the pathway that Jesus has laid before us. He sat there. Again, can you imagine being in this court that they should never have been involved in the middle of the night? Now this, we've moved on. We've moved beyond now. Now the morning was come. But can you imagine them sitting there hearing all these things? Bang, 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 bang. How many things? When all stacks up against us, we must keep in step with Jesus. We must. Folks, we don't need to say a word. We don't need to defend. If Jesus did it, and let me ask you a question, was Jesus guilty of these things? And he still didn't say a word. He could have said, no, you got that wrong, Pharisee. Hey, scribe, you wrote that down wrong. No, you missed it. Don't you recall what I said to that person? But he didn't even say that. Nothing. All right, so the first point is how many things. He was loaded down with many things. The next point I want you to see, and we're going to go to Luke. Would you go to Luke? Go to Luke chapter 23. Let's go to Luke chapter 23, and we love the fact that the four Gospels give us four different perspectives. Now, we saw that Matthew and Mark's perspective was very similar, wasn't it? Almost the same thing. Very little variance with it. Luke is going to be a little bit different, not a lot. And then, of course, John is going to be altogether, he's got another side of things. John does. But let's look at Luke. Luke chapter 23. And the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate, unto Pilate. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar, saying that he himself is Christ the King. And Pilate asked him, saying, art thou the King of the Jews? And he answered him and said, thou hast said. And Pilate, then said Pilate to the chief priests and to the people, I find no fault in this man. The first point was how many things. I mean, that idea alone is very difficult. Just the amount of things that are brought before us. Over and over and over, and it never ends. It just keeps coming. But did you notice in Luke, how wrong the things were. Did you notice that? And there were several things that were mentioned. And let's look at these just for a moment in verse 2. The first thing that was said, we found this fellow doing what? Perverting the nation. Now stop and think about that. Jesus was accused of perverting the nation. Now here we're talking about things that he was accused of. The first point was how many? Over and over and over and over. And I don't care what they were. That's tough. Right or wrong. You know what? If it's wrong, isn't it still hard to hear things over and over and over again? You know what? It's always a dangerous thing when a person has a list. And I'm going to stop and go back to that I said in the first point. Don't ever make a list about things that people have done. I'm just going to flat out tell you that is wicked. It's not right to make lists of people of what people have done. And beware when somebody comes to you with a list. Of course, we're supposed to respond properly when there's a list. I'm still responsible to do right. But I'll tell you what, even if everything on that list is altogether right, it's still hard to hear all those things. But certainly if they're wrong, it's like, wait a second. Now this list is altogether wrong. But notice what is first said. We found this fellow perverting the nation. Question, was that wrong? Did Jesus pervert the nation? No. You know, you go back. Does anybody know what the word pervert means? I looked it up here in Luke. The word perverting is to turn aside from the right path. Who is this that they are accusing? Jesus. But perverting is to turn aside from the right path. What did Jesus come to be? In John 14:6, I am the way. They totally twisted everything around. I mean, exactly the opposite. The word perverting is more than to turn aside from the right path. Listen to this. It's to oppose or plot against the saving purposes and the plans of God. Perverting, again, is to oppose or plot against the saving purposes and plans of God. To pervert is to go crooked from God's way and send people off on a crooked way away from God. Now, question, is that what Jesus did? You remember back in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Well, they got that wrong. In fact, they're way off. The exact opposite. And that's really tough not to defend, isn't it? I mean, the first point, many, many, many things. But they've accused you of something that is exactly the opposite. You went all out to try to help this person. They accused you of never helping. You ever had that happen before? You actually did everything you could, and that person came to you and they accused you of the very thing that you did. I want to tell you, that's tough. That's hard. We're not talking about the amount of things, okay? Maybe the amount of things aren't big to you. I would say that they are big. But when somebody comes to you and they totally flip everything that's happened, it's an all-out lie. That's tough. That's what happened to Jesus. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation. Well, we know that's not true. They're way off. No. The next, and forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. Where did they get this? I know you already know the passages, but let's go back a little bit. Go back to chapter 17 of Luke. We'll stay in Luke, but just go back to Luke 17. And you already know what I'm going to share with you. Let's look at Luke chapter 17 and let's go to verse 24. Whoops, I have the wrong passage. If it was my kids, I would say, first one to find the right passage wins. I don't know what I'd say. Okay. Let's go to Luke. I really wanted to look at this passage. All right, do you remember when he and which disciple was it Andrew that needed to pay tribute, and he said to go fishing, and they would get the coin in the fish's mouth. He got it. And then what did Jesus say when he found it, when he got the coin? He said go pay our tribute. Okay, that's what I wanted to go into. I don't know what I wrote down, you know, here, but I have Luke 17, 24 to 27, but as I'm looking at that, that is not the passage. Okay. 20? Well, I have that written down next, but I don't know what I don't know what Luke 17 is. Okay, let's look at Luke 20. Yeah, that's the passage here. Luke 20, and you could even start back into verse 19. And the chief priests and the scribes the same hour sought to lay hands on him, and they feared the people, for they perceived that he had spoken this parable against them. And they watched him and sent forth spies, which should feign themselves just men, and they might take hold of his words, and that so they might deliver him into the power and authority of the governor. And they asked him, saying, Master, we know that thou sayest and teachest rightly, neither acceptest thou the person of any, but teachest the way of God truly. Is it lawful for us to give tribute unto Caesar, or no? And he perceived their craftiness, and said unto them, Why tempt ye me? Show me a penny. Whose image and superscription hath it? They answered and said, Caesar's. And he said unto them, Render therefore unto Caesar the things which be of Caesar's, and unto God the things which be of God's. Okay? Now that's the passage that we see them tempting him, but there's still another passage in which we find the coin. And the same, what's that? Is it Matthew? Matthew chapter 17. He says, try. I'm guessing it's more than a try. Matthew chapter 17. So I just got the name of the book wrong, okay? Matthew chapter 17, verse 24. And there it is. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and said, Doth not your master pay tribute? He saith, Yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, What thinkest thou, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, Of strangers. Jesus said unto him, Then are the children free. Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea, and cast an hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt give, find a piece of money, and take, and give unto them for me and thee. Okay, what need more that ye see, right? Question. And forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. Where did that come from? Was that true? In fact, they absolutely twisted the entire thing. They flat out lied against it. It was exactly the opposite. In fact, Jesus spent some time, and it was recorded in the Gospels. Honestly, that it was recorded there, it was like it made the headlines. There is so much that we don't know of what Jesus did or didn't do, but it made the headlines that it's very clear that he paid his taxes. He would not be accused of that very thing, but the very thing that he set out to do, because honestly, he really didn't have to because he was of another kingdom. But he did it anyway to be a good testimony, and they twisted his testimony. Folks, that's tough. When you go out of your way to be something that you want to be, and they twist it all up, and they say the exact opposite. Wow! And here they are. He failed to pay taxes to Caesar, give tribute to Caesar. It would be about this time that fleshly Sean Madrid would probably stuck up and say, Now hold on a second. Folks, we've got to be careful what we do. You know, and all it would have taken is for Jesus to match these people and to say, now hold on a second. And I think that jeering crowd would have jumped on him and said, look what you're doing now. Now you're defending yourself. He couldn't win with them. Wrong again. Saying, we get to the end of back to Luke 23, verse 2. And they began to accuse him, saying, we found this fellow perverting the nation. That was wrong. Forbidding to give tribute to Caesar. Wrong. And then lastly, saying that he himself is Christ, a king. Well, we're not going to say wrong to that one. Well, he was. Now, what's the point of them saying that he's calling himself Christ the King? Oh, this guy is usurping authority. This guy, Pilate, did you hear what he's saying? He's the authority here. You know what? He was the king. And I wonder if Jesus would have started asking some questions. How was I born? How was I born? In royal robes? Well, no. Where was I born? In the palace? No. There certainly was no royalty. There was no display of royalty at all. How did I live? Like kings? What did I say? What did I teach? Take your Bibles and go to John. John chapter 6 and verse 15. Just a quick note, not get into context or anything like that, but just look at it, something very quick. And when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, what did he do? He departed again into a mountain himself alone. Were these guys wrong? You know, they were not wrong that he was king. But they were wrong and they flipped the whole idea of who Jesus came to be. They twisted and turned everything that they could to make him look like a bad guy. And Jesus could have stopped the show right then and said, three strikes and you're out. I'm done with you. His response to the chief priests, elders, and multitude? Nothing. And only to Pilate, he answered with three words. What are they? Thou sayest it. Thou sayest it. Now, back to your life. That's tough. That is tough. So many things. So wrong things. Are we still in step with Jesus? Let's go to a third point. Third and last point. Let's go to John for this one. Let's go to John chapter 18. Now, John's rendition and his perspective of it all is the biggest. His is the most that's given. And the whole section goes from 28 to 38. We're not going to look at all of that. So it's tough when the accusers come with so many things. It's tough. It's tough when the accusers come with so wrong of things. That is tough. Let's look at John chapter 18 and let's go to verse 28. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas into the hall of judgment, and it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, Take ye him, and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, Art thou the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, saying, Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice. Pilate saith unto him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. I don't know if you're catching what's going on here, but it's not just so many things. It's not just so wrong of things. It's how wrong the accusers. It's tough to take so many things, right or wrong. It's tough to take things that are so twisted, that are not right. It's tough to take things from people who have done wrong themselves. They're the ones that deserve all of this. Notice, they called him a malefactor. That word malefactor is an evildoer, a criminal, a lawbreaker. Yet what were these men doing? What were they doing? I mean, they were trying to comply to the law, but they were doing everything they could do to go around it. And as I mentioned to you this morning, the Jewish law was that these Jewish people could not put a person to death. And yet they're coming to Pilate saying, We can't do it according to all our law. We need you to do it for us. What do you think? In their own rights, I would say that they're lawbreakers. They were trying to get away with murder. They were trying to get away with breaking their own laws in their own way. They weren't supposed to be having a trial in the middle of the night. Why did they do it in the middle of the night? So nobody would know. That's why we find them back there in Annas and Caiaphas's place in the middle of the night doing it. You see, they had to wake up early in the morning to go and make this legitimate because they weren't allowed by the law to do it during the night. What do you think? Crooked group of guys? They say, John 18:31, you were there. They end the verse, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." We can't do it. Take your Bibles and go to Acts chapter 3. You can keep your finger here if you want. I can't remember if we're coming back to John. Yeah, we'll come back to John. So keep your finger in John 18. But go with me really quickly to Acts. Go to Acts chapter 3. Pentecost has happened. The Holy Spirit's been given. Things have changed on the earth. Now the Holy Spirit is dwelling with man, and He has come to do a lot. He's come to make known the reality of Jesus. And Peter of John, filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter, preaching a message. And I don't have time to get into the whole thing, but in Acts chapter 3, Peter's preaching a message. Look at verse 11. Remember the lame man that was there? Pastor Dan preached on this a little while ago. And as the lame man, verse 11, Acts chapter 3, and as the lame man which was healed, held Peter and John, and all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And Peter sought, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a mirror to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised up from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." And he continues on. What does Peter say here? Come on, let's not play games. He said, "You're the one that did it, and you know it. You're the guys that killed this man. You're the one responsible for it. You are the one that delivered him up. You killed the Prince of Life." They were doing all they could do to circumvent the law and therefore killed Jesus. And Jesus knew all of this. He knew what was going on. He didn't need the book of Acts to figure out what was really happening. And I think that I find it so sad that they were so free to deliver a true malefactor, a robber by the name of Barabbas. Did you catch that? Pilate, he's a criminal. You can release Barabbas. What do you think? So twisted? So many things. So many things, that's tough. So wrong of things, that's tough. How wrong the accusers, folks, that's tough. And his response? Nothing. Look at verse 38, go back to John chapter 18, verse 38. By the way, I think, I can't tell you conclusively, but I think that the passage that we have in John chapter 18, you notice how different it was from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Here we have a few more words of Jesus. I believe that this was a private conversation that the two had. As they talked, you'll notice that Pilate went back out to the people. So as they're talking through, Jesus talked to him a little bit more. But I want to tell you, when Jesus in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and even in John, was in front of all of the crowd and all these people, that's when he didn't say anything. He didn't need to defend himself there. When Pilate himself asked a few questions, and he hardly said anything there in John chapter 18. He really didn't say much. But in front of those other people, he said hardly a couple words. Thou hast said, a few things like that. Pilate goes back out. Verse 38, John 18, 38. And Pilate saith unto him, what is truth? That's an amazing question. What could have Jesus said? I'm the truth. And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews. So he goes back into the court setting and saith unto them, I find in him no fault at all. That's tough. He was a man of no faults. He had done perfectly holy right. So many things. So wrong of things. So wrong the accusers. And we find Jesus' footsteps tonight not defending himself. That's what you say. And he willingly went to the cross for us. That, my friends, is the pattern that God wants us to follow. When you are being accused of many things. When you are being accused of things that are just flat out lies and so wrong. In fact, you did the opposite. That's the kind of response Jesus expects. Even when your accusers, they're the ones that are the criminals. How are we matching up to Jesus' steps? I'll be the first one to admit, not very well. Woe is me. May we be people that would follow Jesus in his steps. When we are reviled, when we were accused, when we are given so many things, so wrong of accusers, may we do what Jesus did so that they don't have anything to say. Father, would you help us? Would you help us? Oh God, I need your help. Because it's so hard when so many things are come up and you just feel like you got to start defending yourself. God, it's hard when the opposite is being given. It's hard when those people themselves, they're the ones that are guilty. God, it's hard. Oh Lord, would you help me to respond in clothes of humility. God, would you help me to be like Jesus. God, help us. God, help us tonight. Help us this week to be like Jesus. For it's in Jesus' holy and precious and wonderful name that gave us the greatest example ever. Amen.